singer-songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Tara and Coco of Tara Who over Zoom video. Both Tara and Coco talk about their individual journeys in music and where they grew up and eventually how they met. Tara lived in between Europe and the United States throughout her life. At 14, she was a foreign exchange student here in the States. She lived in Kentucky, and that's where she really got into music. Drumming was her first instrument, bass later, and then writing songs and singing. She said she never sees herself as a singer. Always writing songs, trying to get somebody to sing them, but eventually she realized no one's going to sing these songs with the passion that I will. So she decided to sing them on her own. Coco's from France. The first instrument she picked up was drums, and that's what she still plays in Tara Who. She went to school in Los Angeles for music. Ended up meeting Tara in 2018, joined her band Tara who had an EP out already, but she was able to jump on, record a song, and then immediately jump on tour with them. When we talked to Tara and Coco, they were actually in their van driving to a show in Texas, which was the last show they played before quarantine, the same place, and this is the first show they're going to play back in over a year. Last show they played, first show back from the quarantine. I thought that was cool. We kind of made that connection during the interview. So they're like, we're using that on stage tonight. So that was awesome. You can watch the interview with Coco, Tara, and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be awesome if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're bringing it backwards with Tara Who.
Well, cool. So this podcast is all about you guys, your journey in music and how you got to where you are now. I know you have a fantastic docu-series on your website that pretty much explains all of this in very detail. sum it up in a half hour or something. But so why don't you both talk about where you grew up? So Tara, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Paris, but when I was 10, I started going to the U.S. every summer for like 2-3 months. And then when I was 15, I was an exchange student in Kentucky for a year and a half.
Okay. Why did you start coming to the U.S.?
Well, initially it was because my family had cousins, relatives here. But then I always had a love for the U.S. So, and the culture and everything, the music I listened to was from the U.S. and everything. So I always wanted to come out here.
Okay. And how'd you get into music?
I don't know. I always wanted to play the drums. So as soon as I could, I did it. And I taught myself the drums, the bass, and the guitar. I didn't think about it. It was just a thing I wanted to do and never stopped doing.
Okay. And then, Crawley, how did you get into music? Or where were you born and raised, actually?
In Brittany, France.
In France?
Yeah, Northwest.
Okay. What was that like?
Really countryside.
Okay.
So, small town, but yeah, like really calm life.
Calm life?
Yeah.
What about family? Were they into music at all? Like, how did you get into music?
Not really, just, I don't know, my mom just always wanted to take some guitar lessons when she was younger, but she couldn't. Oh. And she started when she was around like 40 years old.
Oh,
when
wow.
She had time to do it, you know?
Sure.
And I don't know. I just follow with drums. Yeah, I don't really know, but I just like, yeah, she was like, well, if you want to pick like an instrument or if you want to do some music, do it. And yeah, I choose drums and just keep doing it. Never stop. Yeah.
How old are you when you started playing drums?
I was 10.
10, okay. And yeah, then did you play in like bands or anything younger?
Yeah, actually I was taking lesson at a music school of my town, and like a lot of people that were there were at my school too. So we were already friends, and we just made a little band for like a few years. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, original songs or was it all covers?
Cover. covers. Okay,
what would you play? Do you remember?
Oh, it was a few of French songs because we weren't really good in English. Speaking in English.
Okay.
So yeah, mostly rock songs in French. Yes.
Okay. Very cool. And yeah. And Tara, what are you? When did you start playing music with other people?
14.
14.
Right away. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying that we weren't good, but that's right. When I started.
Okay. Yeah. Were you always the singer, or did you play?
No, singing came after. I was a drummer first.
Oh, really?
And, Same drums,
path then.
Drums and bass, and then like maybe a year after I did bass, and I always I still do drums and bass in other projects. But obviously, Tara, who is taking all of my time, most of my time.
Sure.
So, yeah. It's funny because I don't see myself as a guitar player or a singer. And then when we do interviews, it's like, oh, so Coco, who's your favorite drummer? Tara, who's your favorite guitarist? I'm like, I don't have one. I don't care. I just use the guitar to write songs. I don't like, you know.
Okay. When did you start writing songs? When did you transfer?
In Kentucky.
Oh, it was in Kentucky. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that when you started your first bands as well, or were you playing in bands prior to that?
I was playing in bands in France first, in Paris. And then I was missing that a lot, but I couldn't do that in Kentucky. So that's when I picked up the guitar and I was like, well, I still want to do music.
Okay. Were you always writing like lyrics or?
Lyrics and I always... The lyrics and the guitar parts always come together. It's I don't know. It's just it comes out.
Sure. What was your first band as like the singer and guitar player? Was it this band?
Yeah. That's the I don't see myself as a singer. So you'll
right.
I don't think you'll ever. I mean, you know, you never know, but I don't think you'll ever see me sing for something else.
Okay. What made you decide to start singing and start this band?
So initially I was, when I started writing, I was looking for a singer and I didn't want to be in the front at all. And every time I tried out with friends, they had great voices. That was not the issue, but it just, they didn't have the emotions and that I was looking for. And then I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to do it myself for the demo. And then turns out people, when I started producing myself or like gigging, you know, as a singer songwriter, actually to look for a singer, people were into what I was doing. And I guess they liked my voice or whatever. And then, you know, after that, I accepted it and I was like, well, it's my story. I guess I'll just say it myself, you know, mm-hmm. I'll tell it myself. And here I am.
When did it go from just you singer songwriter to the band? Like, when did you meet Corelli?
So I started when I moved to LA in 2006 is when I did the whole singer songwriter acoustic gigs for years. And I think that really built me to be in front of people because mm-hmm. you're naked when you're just you and your guitar and nothing else. That takes a lot, and you can entertain like a room full of people. That's different because, you know, when you're with your bandmates, it's like, all right, let's do this. Yay. You know,
right.
But
right.
Singer songwriter, you're not getting wasted on your own or you have an alcohol problem, you know? I had producers approaching me when I was performing and stuff like that. So then it became a band. At first it was going to be like just still me at the front and then I have musicians, but I didn't like that. Like when I work with someone, I like to, I'm very close to people and sociable, you know, so I like to be friends with people, which later I realized that you can't get too close to your musicians, otherwise you can't get anything done.
Right.
You know, because when it comes to saying like, oh, actually, can you play that? Like then there's like pride and all that. So I learned a lot, you know, working with a ton of musicians, men and women, especially men. Coco is the only second female drummer that I'm working with, and it's working out perfectly. So why change?
Amazing. And so when did you, Coco, when did you get to the States, or did you move to LA? Like, what was that journey like?
Yes. Yeah, so I went to the Musician Institute in LA.
Oh, wow. For drums?
Yeah, for drums. Yeah.
Tell me about, was that a audition process and a whole thing to get in there?
Yeah, kind of. So you have to like send a video of you presenting yourself and playing some rudiments and some songs, you know, and send that. And yeah, I was actually looking for like a school to do music 24/7, right. You know, something like you're really doing only that. And I couldn't really find some in France and in Europe. So that's how I found out about this one in LA. And I was like, oh my God, that would be so cool to go there, you know, in LA, playing music and everything. So I waited to have 21 to come here, easier for everything. And yeah, and I did that. I graduated in 2018 from there. So yeah, really good. I loved it. That was really cool.
And when did you meet Tara and join her group?
So before I moved to LA for schools, Tara and I were friends on Facebook, but we never met before. I think we had some friends in common, some drummers in France.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I just messaged her to have some tips about the life in LA, you know, and the music scene and everything. We just kept in touch. And one day she was like, hey, are you doing something tonight? I'm playing at the Viper Room. Do you want to come and check it out, you know? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I went and we talked a little bit. And after that, she was like, oh, actually, I'm looking for a drummer for my band. Like, will you be interested? And yeah,
wow,
that's how it goes. Yeah, that's how it went.
You played just yourself at the Viper Room?
No,
you had a different band.
No. It was another drummer, and she was on her way out.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So you had a record that you put out in 2014. So this was an album that Coco wasn't on, or a couple EPs, right? Before it.
Coco came in for 64 Woman, right?
Yep.
Well, technically you came in when Half Made of Child Syndrome was recorded and we were touring with that EP.
Yeah.
But
oh wow. Yeah. Okay. So what were those first tours like? Were you guys like supporting another artist or trying to just DIY it? Like, what was it like?
It was DIY, but we were the headliners. We had friends who were supporting us. It was a lot of fun. Well, we had a bass player at the time and we had barely met him, and he learned like the whole set list. I think it was like 15 songs in like a week. And then we went on the road and we're so like dedicated that we were not thinking about it. And then first night at the, like in the hotel, we're like, we don't know this guy. You know what
sure.
I mean? Like,
you just like, steal all like, your gear. And
yeah. Well, no, I really don't think that. It was just like a man to female thing, you know?
Oh, sure.
Like man, woman thing. And then I was like, we don't know him and we're about to sleep in the same room with him. Huh. Well, we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously it was all right. You guys are safe.
That's good.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like when you're so into it, you know, sometimes you don't realize those things, but like actually like everything matters, you know?
Sure. Sure. So were you going to school still at the same time, Coco, when the tours were happening?
I just graduated like just a month before, I think.
Okay.
Or a few weeks. Yeah.
Wow. So you had graduated and it was right on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was exciting. Yeah.
That's really amazing. And then you said you recorded on that record a little bit or no?
So I recorded the 64 woman, but we were touring with the previous one that I didn't record on it. I was just playing the songs live for middle child syndrome for this one. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. And then that was around 2018, you said?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So when does the pandemic hit you guys, and where were you at when that all happened?
We were in LA.
Oh, you were in LA?
Yeah, we were in LA. We had just shot the music video for Pantomath, and that was when the whole toilet paper craziness happened.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So we had like, it was in the desert, so we had like porta potties. How do you say? Like,
yeah, portable
toilet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the first thing I said, because there's always like a meeting, and then, you know, like you present yourself, introduce yourself or whatever. And I was like, okay, do not steal the toilet paper, people. You know, like that was the one thing. Yeah. We had a little bit of a crew. That was fun. We had friends from a quest called Tribe, who's like a motorcycle woman riding. So we had motorcycles. I was breaking stuff. It was fun. And then the next day we shot the live sessions, and then on Monday, lockdown.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Completely. And I was, and that was for us, it turned out perfectly, because then we were in post-production and all that. And then since that day, we just kept releasing new stuff.
So you had all the music though, like ready?
Yeah. Everything was ready.
Recorded beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Were you able to work on new music or?
So, after that, I started writing new music, but we were still in lockdown, so we were Zooming each other, like, hey, check this song out. So, I have a home studio, so I was sending her the tracks with, like, drums, bass, guitar, and vocals, and all that, and then I would send it to her with and without the drums so that she can send me her parts, too, and her ideas, too, and then we would discuss them, all of this via Zoom. And then finally we met with Jason, the producer, for one weekend, and we're like, okay, well, we've never played them together, but let's just see what happens. And it turned out good, I think.
What an interesting way to like write and produce songs all over Zoom. Was that a total learning curve?
It was well, I like to be well prepared. Like I usually like to have like 5-hour day rehearsals minimum, you know, where you feel it in your blood, it's in your bones, you don't even think about playing, it's just so natural that you can really then focus on entertaining the people you're playing with, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? So that's why I do like those intense rehearsals, because, and luckily, you know, Coco has time for it too, but it's just so that it's just second nature for us to just play the songs. Mm-hmm. And I like to do that for recording too, because obviously time is money. And if we're not prepared, we don't have time to extend hours at the studio. So I'm like, all right, you know, but this time, you know, it was just based on trust. Like, I hope she learned the songs, you know?
Right. Like right.
Yeah. But at the same time, thanks to this experience, we now know that not only we can count on each other for that, but you can work from anywhere in the world and make things happen, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
if people are motivated enough, you don't need to be in the same room and the same, you know, so that was really cool to see that.
Was it kind of crushing to find out that you have all these songs written and recorded and now we don't know when you'll even be able to put them out?
Well, we've been releasing them, and that has been very, very good for our internet presence. And we've got a lot more fans around the world, actually, thanks to that, because while people were stuck at home, actually people listened and watched our stuff, you know?
Right, right.
And so I feel like that it really helped us out. And we have our first gig this weekend. So I think that's why I'm also like a little bit scared, because we're going to be playing the new songs for the first time in front of people.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, wow. We'll see. Yeah. So you're obviously you'll play a mix of some of the old stuff, but there's a bunch of songs that nobody's heard yet. And you're going to showcase those this coming weekend.
Exactly. So we're going to see their reaction like right there.
Wow.
And yeah.
You have a new record coming out, like a full album? Because I've seen you've released Manners, Illusion of Freedom.
Yeah, so all of those are part of the album that is coming out in September. And so we have three more. Today we just dropped a new single for Mother's Day in France. So that's today. You can listen to it.
Which one is that called?
It's in French. It's called La Petite Boche, Un Amour de Guerre. It's because Boche is a term or a name that my mom was called when she was a kid, because she was born from a French mother and a German soldier in the war.
Okay.
So it's actually a mean thing, but it's hard to explain. Do you have a better way to explain this, Coco?
No, I think that was good. Yeah, it's a term that French people at the time were calling German, let's say, you know, with like the whole war thing and everything. Yeah.
So I wanted to name that song that for two reasons. One, I wanted, you know, the history to keep going because it did happen. And two, I wanted to also send like awareness that it's not nice to call people a certain way or even children, you know, because it really hurts. You don't even understand that word. Or like my mom didn't understand that word when she was a kid. She was just being called something and you know, she was being bullied for something she didn't choose to be, you know. And it's really stupid. So that's why I chose to name that song that. But actually, the song is about how much I love my mom.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, is the whole song in French then?
No, it's not. I'm not there yet.
Just the title. Awesome. And what about this? So you're playing a show. You're playing a festival on Sunday. What's the festival?
It's, oh my gosh, it's the Women's Motorcycle Show. So we did it, I think in 2019? It must have been then.
No, in January 2020, right after the whole thing, before. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Before the whole thing, yeah. Yeah.
So it's basically women customizing motorcycles. And that's the expo of what they've been working on. Throughout the year. So you know, like anyone who's into motorcycle, it's open to everyone. It's not open to just women, but it's woman builder. So okay. I think it's a really cool event.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And you've done it before. Obviously, you said you played it in 2019.
Well, 2020, January 2020.
I mean, January 2020, right before the lockdown. Was that the last show you played before?
Actually, I think it was.
So the last show you played before and then the first show back.
Oh,
that's pretty
we're going to use that on stage.
There you
go.
Put the dots together for you.
Thank you.
That's amazing. And then do you have a full record coming out?
Yes, full record. So that's coming out in September and we're really excited about it, because after that song from Mother's Day, we have two more songs coming out. And we think it's going to be, if you guys like Manners and Illusion of Freedom, you should like the ones that are coming out.
Amazing.
And we have really kick-ass music videos from Maria. So it was a crazy weekend that we spent. One of the songs that's coming out, I had a vision of an army dance with an army of women dancing.
Okay.
So when I said that to Maria, she's like, okay, let's talk to Lena, the director. And I have a friend who's a choreographer who choreographed the whole thing, and everything was fine. And then like maybe like just a few weeks before shooting, they're like, okay, so when do you guys want to come in for rehearsal? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, for the dance rehearsal, I'm like, no, no, no. My vision is Army of Women dancing, not Army of Tara Who dancing.
Yeah,
no, don't count us in. You know, we're not dancers, we're musicians,
right.
You know?
Right.
And no, we had to learn the dance.
Oh, so did you get the army or no?
We did get an army of dancers, but we also play a part. And while it's official, I'm just not a great dancer. Yeah.
Got it. Well, I can't wait to see the video. That's exciting. So you're dancing in the video, though.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm a good dancer when I'm drunk, but not when I'm asked to be doing
not
certain moves.
Told.
Yeah. I think my body was fighting the, you know, don't tell me what to do, you know.
Sure. Well, I love it. I can't wait to hear the rest of the record. And thank you both so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
Yeah. And good luck at that show. The first one back. And
I know.
And please use that. Last show you played, first one back.
Yeah, I will.
Do you have any advice for aspiring artists? That was my last question for you both.
Do what feels right. Because it is right.
Yeah. Just
does that make sense?
Yeah. Totally.
Do what you love and just don't worry about what other people will say, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, just do you. Yeah.
Yeah. Just be you. Don't try to be anything that you're not, because you'll never be it. That's a waste of time. And you won't get any attention trying to be like someone who's already doing their own thing. So just find what you're good at and do it passionately, do it from your heart, and that's gonna feel right. And then just keep doing that, even if people around you tell you that it's not right. People continuously tell us a lot of things, and me especially, because my family didn't support me in my music career, but this is what I'm happy doing, so I'm just doing that. I'm not made for a career job, and that's just the way it is. So just do what you're meant to be, no matter what other people say. It's not their life.
Bring it backwards.